Peace. My name is Cool Kim, and back in 1991, I was a member of the groundbreaking rap group called the UMCs. We had two Billboard chart-topping singles, Blue Cheese.
Pick up, that's just a comic book, especially when I pick up and start to teach my first lesson.
And One to Grow On. This was a wonderful time in hip-hop where artists were talented, unique, creative, and just outright fun. During our second album, Unleashed, things took a darker turn for us after releasing our first single, Time to Set It Straight.
Hey, yo, I'll be the rough, rugged MC with the streetcar named Desire. Goodness gracious, train falls up fire. Now I heard you had the mind, so I put my peoples on it. Show we'll take it if we want it. So don't phone it. Now you try to beat the lineup. The hip-hop nation, yeah, your beats is kind of fat, but your lyrics, starvation, now you're stumped.
Critically panned for being too far of a departure from our original sound, all the while confronting a record label that did not have our best interest at heart, sort of marked the end of that chapter of my life. Years later, I would return to hip-hop as the enigmatic artist NY Oil. Disguising my identity with dark shades and an aggressive posture, I was able to reinvent myself and herald a new generation of conscious hip-hop with my cult classic, Y'all Should All Get Lynched.
Yo, all y'all bullshit MCs. Y'all are on notice. Pay very close attention. The Drive Squad is on its way.
It was such a powerful song that Reginald Hutman, then president of BET, greenlit an animated adaptation of the video. Wanting to be more than just a character, my experiences at NY Oil led me to step away from the music again to do the hands-on work in the community that meant so much to me. We started a track team for youth in my community, Team Tsunami, a youth mentoring program for young ladies called Blackbird Fly, and a youth hip-hop collective dubbed PEMG, built around mentoring young people through hip-hop. And though my efforts were valiant, life in the big city had run its course, and I moved to Augusta, Georgia, where I bought a fixer-upper and started a DIY
Please.
Blog called Life After Hip-Hop.
Allow me to show you something.
What's up, everybody? It's your friendly neighborhood fly guy, Cool Kim, from the UMCs, a.k.a. NY All The Ideal. And today on Life After Hip Hop, we're going to show you how to take these bar stools from Brad to Fab.
Bar stools a bit more rest.
Rest.
Not the best, they look a mess.
Mess.
I'ma break them down, I'ma shake them down till them jokers look fresh. Took off the screws. Open the bar core.
Yo, what up, Slow? Yo, it's NY, at Slow. You know what I'm saying? We're at party and doing our thing, you know what I'm saying? Getting it in.
In the boutique, QP's Dollhouse with my wife, QP. However, the boom bap still stirred in my soul. A desire to rhyme and create sparked a fire in me. And so with the help of my producer, Bukowski, and my ever faithful and supportive core fans, I decided to come back, returning to my original name, Cool Kim, with an evolved approach to MCing and a super cool logo and awesome merchandise. I've reached my final form. Cool Kim is back with demo music. Produced by Bukowski, this album is an ode to boom bap and head nod music. Big giant drums, bass heavy, sample driven, pure hip hop shit. A subtle tempo mix makes this project a vibe, staying true to the purest hip hop aesthetic. Lyrically, this album is a masterpiece of flow and lyrical dexterity, if I do say so myself. It brings you back to the time when you needed to rewind a song to make sure you actually understood what you just heard. Did he just say that? Yeah. Boom bap boutique music for the evolved ear. Many were called, but the crew was few. This is demo music for the real heads that miss that bop. Strap in. It's about to be a bumpy ride. To experience and participate in this amazing and interactive adventure, follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and of course my webpage, coolkimumc.com. Where you can hear the first single off of demo music, The Get Down, now.
Radio, DJ.
One nation, one station.
Yeah, there it is. So, my brother, man, welcome, man. I know I spoke with you briefly, but I couldn't wait to talk to you now because a lot of times, man, I know I talk a lot and we can do the show behind the scenes and not give it to the people. So I wanted to wait, man, and welcome you to the show so we can go ahead and have this time to really sit down with you, bro. And C-Man, past, present, future, won't you let the people know, man, I'm going to turn it over to you at this time. Let the people know exactly who you are and so they can get reacquainted with you. You got it. Let's get it.
Right on. Hi, you know, shout out to everybody. What's happening? It's your friendly neighborhood fly guy, Cool Kim, from the rap group The UMCs. Came out back in 1991. With the songs Blue Cheese and When to Grow On. So, you know, if you're in your late 30s, mid-40s, you know, early 50s, you might remember that song. You might have had a little dance you was doing to them joints back in high school or college. And, yeah, so, you know, I had that experience for a while and did that for a few years. And then as the bio indicated, I ended up reinventing myself because situations and circumstances predicated it. And I came back out as NY Oil, you know, and I dropped the conscious hit, Y'all Should All Get Lynched. And then another one after that, What Up My Wigger, and a few others, you know what I'm saying, to catch a build on things. And then, you know, I did that for a while. And I kind of disappeared for a little bit to focus on family life and things like that. And then I reemerged again. Now it's Cool Kim, back to basics, you know, 360 degrees. And I'm back where I started. And I'm dropping a new project, man, called Demo Music, and it's crazy dope, and I'm having a lot of fun, you know what I mean?
Indeed, indeed. So, man, I want to slow it down and walk it back to 1991. Back
right
in 1991, it was a time very, 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 very different than what we're experiencing now in 2019. But this is what I want to do, man. You all dropped in, like you say, 91. And you all want the only artists to drop in 91. I want to give the people, I'm going to just name some of these artists off this list who all dropped in 91. This is who he was dropping with, the music. So we had Nas drop in 91. He was first heard on Live from the Barbecue, and that came off Breaking Adams. Cormega came out in 91 as MC Core on Set It Off. From Poet, Hot Day, GZA, Genius, Words from the Genius, RZA as Prince Rakim, DJ Quick, Leaders from the New School, Black Sheep, KMD, the Fooshnikins, Pete Rock, CL Smooth, the UMCs, that's yourself, Haas G, Showbiz and AG, Naughty by Nature, Cypress Hill, Kid Capri, Organized Confusion, OC, DMX, as DMX, the great winning. And DMX was on Unsigned Hype then from the Source Magazine. He wasn't even DMX, who we all know to go do great things with Def Jam. MC Breeze, the DMC Tupac, same song, 8 Ball, MJG, Master P, with Get Away Clean. So I named all these artists to make a point. In 91, in order to be on, you really had to be somebody and have some talent. Because everybody I named had their own sound, had their own identity, and when you heard them, you knew it was them, opposed to what we're experiencing now, in my opinion, in 2019, where everything you turn on has the same cadence and the same sound. And you got to say, who is that? Because it sounds like such and such, such and such. That sounds mm-hmm. like such and such, such and such, opposed to you knowing, damn, that's LL. Oh, I ain't heard that LL song. Or that's Cool Moe Dee. Or that's Cool, man, come on. Like,
yeah.
Man, come on. Come on.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, you know, the thing about that is, and it kind of speaks to a lot of things, Paul, you know, like on one degree, it speaks to how corporations can ruin a thing, man, and how capitalism is a dangerous thing in general, like if it's not dealt with the right way. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you look at like you know, just to kind of on a roundabout way looking at it, like look at like Facebook, for example, you know, like when everybody first got on Facebook, it was dope. You know what I mean? You reach out, meet all you see all your friends you ain't seen for years and years. And, you know, mm-hmm. it had so many beautiful elements to it. But once that money got serious, you know what I mean? And they start seeing how that money could be. And I remember watching the documentary or the movie about Facebook, and there was this line in it that the actor playing Mark Zuckerberg had said. He was like, yo, you know, if this or that happens on Facebook, you know, people are going to stop coming because it's not going to be cool. It's not going to be cool then. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had that mindset, but at some point, like I said, that money took over. And Cash was like, the hell with that. We going, you know, we trying to get this bread. And now they got it so that it's not the same space anymore. You can't even talk to your friends no more. Like, you can't even reach everybody. You got to pay just to talk to the people that you helped get on that daggone site. Well, hip-hop is similar that way. You know, in those days, it wasn't so corporate then. It still was indie-minded. You know what I'm saying? It still had that vibe. A lot of the great artists were coming from independent labels, which meant there was somebody, like an individual, somebody that was believing in the artists that they were signing and, you know, had a hands-on approach to those artists and helped develop those artists. You know, it wasn't the same as nowadays when you could just kind of become popular on YouTube or Instagram or Snapchat or any other of the social media devices and, you know, not really be an artist, but be more of a spectacle or, you know, someone that's maybe entertaining, but they're not really an artist. You know what I'm saying? And so
correct.
That's why you have so many artists that emulate what other artists are doing, because they can't really generate anything new because they're not artists. They're just cats that they're brilliant in terms of how can I get people's attention. And you know, there's no knock to young people, because I actually think there's something special happening in the music from those of them that are authentically creating the music. Because when you listen to these young MCs right now, like the ones that the trap music style, like, I was if you listen to that and you think about it, you really hearing African drum rhythms. Boom, boom, doom, 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 doom. When I get it more, get a little bit of making money, then I, you know, that's all African drum rhythms. So you're looking at genetic memory manifesting itself. So I'm really not, I always be easy about disrespecting their music, because that's to me, it's not a cipher. Like, that's not really the way to go. Like, you know, if anything, I want to engage young people and, you know, and rock with them and get them fired up and help direct them like Tai Chi, like direct their energy in the right direction. But, you know, to your point, you know, it was a lot of beautiful talent when we came out in those days, and everybody, all the names you name, and they all different dudes. Like, all, like you said, they all different cats.
Different.
It was like comic books. Like, you know, you go in a comic book store, you just had Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, X-Men, New Mutants, Avengers. Like, you had all these different books that they all had a different vibe, you know. And sometimes they would cross over and like that, but that just made it more ill if Spider-Man popped up in the X-Men magazine. Like, oh, yo, that's Spider-Man, yo. That was dope. And nowadays, it doesn't, like, a collab don't even mean nothing, because it's the same voice, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. You know, I just, you know, I think that everything has its cycles. I'm noticing a lot of younger cats that's coming out now, you know, that are doing interesting stuff, like the whole Griselda movement. They bringing that, you know, crime rap, but it's, or drug rap, I think they call it, but whatever, you know, it's basically hardcore hip hop. You know what I'm saying? It's in that pocket. You know what I mean? Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, you know, and then there's a lot of young cats that we're not hearing about right now because they're not popular like that, but they're dope and they're doing great music. And, you know, I think in time they're going, you know, redefine what hip hop is for their generation as well. So I'm hopeful, man.
And I wanna say, it's not that we ever want to put out the impression that we don't respect the new age music. I'm just giving an opinion from my perception that everything pretty much sounds the same. It's hard to identify, like I was doing, compare and contrasting from 91 to 2019. In 91, every artist, when they came out, you knew it was that artist because they had a unique sound, individual to who they were. Nowadays, everyone is mimicking the same cadence, that same style of rap, which you spoke on, that like you say, the African drum rhythm, that is the cadence nowadays. That is the delivery. It's like delivery protocol. Nowadays in 2019, if you wanna get on or be accepted by, I would say, the vast majority and not just your niche market of fans. If you want to be accepted by everybody, then you pretty much have to have that sound or something similar to that sound in order for it to catch nowadays, unless you just really hit the emotions so hard that where it's just undeniable. And so me personally, from my walk of music and doing this, speaking to various artists, I always find when you come real from the heart and make music full of emotion, you can't never fail because you're going to always find somebody to relate to it because it's real.
Well, you know, I tell you, I'm not sure if I agree with you on that part, because from my experience and having put myself out there in various forms where what I was saying was as genuine to myself and my experience as possible, what I find is that, when I was doing NY Oil, right, when I was representing that portion of myself, you know, mm-hmm. which is my anger, my frustration, my pro-black, my black liberation, my all of that's me. You know, it's just as much me as Kool Kim just rhyming and having fun. Because I'm 19, I was the president of Black Awareness Club. We was protesting and marching. This is, you know, we're talking about, you know, 89, you know what I'm saying? No, excuse me, 88, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, NY Oil is just as much me as anything else that I could have done, you know what I mean? But what happens is that sometimes you reach a fan base, right, of people, or, your demographic, rather. I don't like the term fan, but the demographic that you reach, they might be people that's like, yo, son, you know, I got love for what you're doing, but I'm not the type of cat to be running behind you or making posts about you. I'm not no fan, dude. I'm just a cat, you know. And since they're not a fan, dude, you're missing a component of what's necessary to perpetuate yourself as an artist. And there's a real logistics to being an artist that's transcendent to just being, you know, artistically sound. This is a part of it. It's like, yo, fam, if this ain't happening, if that's not happening, what you're doing ain't going to be happening at all, because you're not going to be able to maintain, like, you know, you can't maintain it, basically, is what I'm trying to get at. You know, you can't keep doing it because, if you ain't doing no shows, you can't pay no bills. You can't, you know, if you ain't selling no albums, you can't get back in that studio. You know, these are things that have to happen. And, you know, I think what happens is that there was a time frame where people that assigned themselves to being, you know, real hip hop, you know, I'm from the grain hip hop, yo, da 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 da, they were failing to do their parts as fans. You know, like, you know, you're supposed to support, like, you gotta, you know, buy the people's projects. You gotta, you know, you gotta do those things. Those are things that's the fans have an obligation. Like, there's things that the artists need you to do. They need you to, you know, promote their stuff for you. Like, you know, like, to go out there and big it up and talk about it and post pictures about it and blah, blah, blah. Like, they need you to do that. Because if you don't do it, then it requires more money for them to reach the people that they need to reach. You reach more people than the artist does, believe it or not. You know what I mean? And, you know, they need you to go buy the record. There was a whole point in time where Cash was on something like, yo, I'm not buying music, period. Like, nah, I ain't buying no music. I'm just downloading it for free. If I could download it. There was a whole, like, a good 5 or 10 years of that. You know, and, you know, a lot of artists couldn't adapt to that. There was no real business model to adapt to it. Like, you couldn't, at that point, technology hadn't moved along fast enough on the consumer level where you can do your own merchandising for real and make a good, you know, make some money off of just having a marketable name. And so these things, you know, they create financial obstacles that a cat that fits the hip-hop profile really can't be expected to overcome. You know, if you are a hip-hopper, generally you're telling stories from rising up from poverty or rising up from hard times. How many cats is rising up from hard times got a heat press machine or a Cricut to cut vinyl? Or, you know what I'm saying, or $1,000 computer to be able to run, you know, a Sony Vegas so they could produce and edit their own videos. And, you know, like, that's not – it's such a dichotomy that for people to expect one and the other to exist in the same person is unrealistic. And so I think that for a lot of cats that were from my era, we didn't disappear because we wanted to or did because, you know, like we fell off is because, you know, I think honestly and cats that call themselves fans of this music, you know, people that call themselves participants in this culture have to own the part of it that says, yo, you know, as fans, we failed the music. We failed our culture. We didn't do our part. You know, we stopped being the cats that was up at 2 o'clock in the morning waiting for, you know, Teddy Tet Awesome 2, you know, Teddy Tet Special K, the Awesome 2 show to come on, waiting for, you know, Sway and Tech and Sway, I think it was in the morning, or not, it was Sway had a, you know, I'm talking about, because he was
right
in LA,
right.
So I'm not
but,
sure.
You're right.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Back then you had Fast Five Freddy, you had Dre.
Yeah, all of them cats, Red Alert,
all them cats.
Chuck Chill Out,
right.
Molly Moore, you know, all of them showed like we would wait all night, you know, and so Stretch Armstrong and Bobbito, and all of these shows we would be waiting for to listen to. Like, we would go out of our way. We would literally go and search out hip-hop. But now we don't do that anymore. And it's understandable because cats got jobs and kids and grandkids. Ain't nobody got time for all that. But it doesn't change the fact we got to own that. And then if this is our culture and we love it, we got to find a way to make time for it in the context of our lives today.
And I want to address something because you address a lot of things, bro, fast. And I want to address it from the hood standpoint. So back then, you're right, the technology wasn't there, but you did have a lot of bootlegging going on. But in order for somebody to bootleg your CD, they was making a living. The bootlegger was making a living burning your CD. But in order for it to, in order for him to burn it, you had to be hot. So people had to want it. Or else he'd just be burning CDs and ain't making no money. Now, true enough, if your album is out on sales, yes, the bootlegger is making money off of you. They not buying it at the stores, but I guarantee you your name is ringing in the street. And if your name ringing in the street, there's other ways for you to get paid. The bootlegger actually helped artists get shows because they so hot in the street, people was wanting to book their artists because everybody's banging the CD. And, yes, they were not going to the store, so, yes, for them 5 and 10 years you were talking about, yes, indeed, I agree with you. A lot of urban artists were losing money from the bootleg, but their popularity, their name was ringing. That's something you couldn't pay for. That was like free promotion, so to say.
Well, let me give you a little pushback on that. Think of it like this, though. There has to be a – right, so the way the business runs, and I'm sure you know, because I know you're an artist as well as a host, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so boom. So the way the industry runs is that, you know, and I'm saying it's more for the people that are listening than you and I, that, you know, a booking agent has to put his feelers out. So they put their one sheet for you together. You know, they you know, nowadays you'll have an EPK, an electric press kit, or, you know, so they have show footage of you or whatever, you know what I mean? What they need to do is they need to show potential promoters. Now, this is promoters that's really spending money. Like, you know, you might get a $500 gig here or there from time to time if you luck up. You might get open up for somebody that's, you know, live, you know, to open up. But generally what they're looking for is a metric, a spec, you know, a spec sheet, like to show where you hitting at. You know, what your BDS look like? You know, what spins are you getting? Where are you getting spins at in X, Y, or Z location? What's your sales metrics look like? How are you doing in these different markets? So he's doing really well in this market. We at, you know, he just sold, you know, 500,000 in, you know, the Northwest. So, you know, he's looking real good for a tour in that area because we're doing really great in that market. Well, when you have, you know, and by bootleggers, for me, I'm not really speaking about dudes that come out with, like, the African dude with the tech, come out with the blanket and have all those CDs. I'm talking about more like cats just literally going online and just down, you know, somebody posting up your album and then everybody just downloading it for free. And then what ends up happening is, yeah, there's a buzz about you on the street, but the buzz isn't translating into a traceable metric that somebody can say, yo, he popping in Florida. We need to go down there and do some gigs. Nobody really knows that you popping in Florida. Now, they may know that you popping. Now, they may be rocking your joint in Florida. Cash, if you in Florida and you in the, you know, you in the hood, you know that joint playing nonstop out of people's trunks. But the promoter don't really know that like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, son, it's called being in the citadel. When you reach a certain point in your life where you don't really know what's hitting the streets like that, you might have a business that relates to the streets, but you still don't really know it's because you're not on the block like that no more, because what you do has removed you from the block now because you've kind of grown past that. But you're still dealing the block, but you don't know it now. You know what I mean? And a lot of us, and I'm just telling you from my firsthand experience, like now, other cats, you know, caught a different break than I did. Admittedly, there's other people that really did benefit from that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? It's cats that, you know, that sort of scenario worked exactly as you're describing. But for more, I think for more of us, and I'm just speaking for cats that I talk to on a daily and, you know, dudes that I be building with that, you know, we kind of all in that, you know, in that retirement home for artists that's trying to, you know, like all the cats that was in there with me, we were having that, the experience that I'm describing where there was no real metric for people to be able to figure out what we were doing to know that people was checking for. Like, for example, I NY Oil. Y'all Should All Get Lynched was huge. Oh, millions of views on YouTube. You heard? Like, this thing, I was the first artist to get banned. Not banned, but that was the first video to get banned on YouTube. The original video got banned on YouTube. Yo, huge. It was so huge that it got back to me that Stevie Wonder loves my album, that album. Like, you know, like, it's like that. Like, this is how huge this thing was on the humble. It was so huge that Reginald Hudlin caught wind of Y'all Should All Get Lynched. He was so moved by the song that he greenlit an animated version of that song. That's why if you look on YouTube, you'll see the animated version of it. Reginald Hudlin did that through Titmouse Films. Like, this is how big this song was. It was so big, right, that Reverend Jesse Jackson and a bunch of them other cats was in a hotel room, heard the song, was like, so they didn't hear the song, they heard about the song, and was like, yo, they were setting a protest against me behind this song, because they didn't know what it was about and what I was building on, you feel me? So all that to say, as big as that song was, I did three shows as NYO. And none of them, so I did three shows, and three shows that were paying, and I did maybe like 10 shows that, you know, in general. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I did a bunch of shows, like, on the arm for you know, the community, because I was trying to do right by the community, all things considered. But that wasn't nothing popping. It wasn't all none of that going
on. So here's the thing. Let's address it for what it was. That y'all Should All Get Lynched. I went back and looked at it today. Very dope. I'm talking about very dope. The lyrics, like, is that what Malcolm died for? Is that what Martin died for? Is that what Oprah did a thing for? Like, you named some very powerful things, great message, everything. Now, if you had it came out with that, let's say prior to 2008, around the 90s, all right, that thing would have did numbers, stupid numbers. Why? Because we were still in that time. You still had, when everybody came together, I remember when everybody came together trying to give us the warning like you did in here, with Y'all Should All Get Lynched, with self-destruction, self-destruction. We headed for self-destruction. That we got a warning then, okay? Now, when we go back to that time frame, you still had MCs, hip-hop. It changed when we got that group NWA. When NWA hit, everything crossed over to gangsta. If you weren't speaking gangsta, if you weren't talking drugs, if you weren't talking slap a bitch, pimp a hoe, if you weren't talking none of that, you really weren't getting no play no more. And to me, that was industry systematically driven. Because now we don't need wake-up conscience. We don't need them waking up. We now got this thing called mass incarceration and the privatization of these prisons that we need to fill up. We need bodies. So now they crossed over and let this gangster rap so take over. Now the masses, because think about it, what you just said. A lot of people who was listening to hip hop, we lived in what? Poverty. We lived in the hood. So now when you got people actually rapping this, that you see outside, and not rapping hope no more, not rapping educate yourself, get out the hood so you can buy the hood. See, when that switched,
And now you're seeing drugs and everything that's going on right outside your door. Now you it's more of a relation, and if you got caught up, sucked up into it, then you became a product of it. Now you're part of that statistic that's packing them jails. And that's why, to me, in my opinion, y'all should all get lynched. Did numbers on YouTube, and they tried to ban it and all that good stuff, but it really wasn't received by the people. Why? Because it now holds you accountable, because now you're hearing something that should convict you or hold you responsible for what you're giving the people. And in 2008, I don't think people wanted to receive that.
I think, well, I tell you what, here's the thing. I largely agree with what you're saying. Now, and I'm going to tell you where I agree with that wholeheartedly. In general, as a community, we are not lent to receiving the truth about the real our conditions. You understand? There's a larger force that doesn't want us to receive the truth. But I think that we've been so effectively conditioned to the lies and ignorance that make us blind, deaf, and dumb, that when we are not presented with it, we do the devil's work for the devil, right? So, for example, a lot of times, I hear a lot of brothers that they talk about, a lot of rhetoric towards what needs to be done in the community and how the community goes. So, one of the things that I was experiencing as NY Oil was I was doing a lot of lectures and, panel discussions and seminars and like that. And, I was, very much loved, like everybody loved it. Like the song was very well received, oddly enough. Like I would get on radio shows and the radio shows the host would think I was like some lunatic because of the name of the song. So they figured I was going to come on and say something off brand or not be able to articulate my viewpoint. But as you can see, I'm well-spoken, and I do have a solid viewpoint about things, And, I have a background which, like I said, I was president of the Black Awareness Club. I was, A classes all my life, so my build was solid, and I'm a common sense dude, too, so I wasn't just book smart. And so, what happened, I would win cats over because I had a legitimate viewpoint on the issue. So people received what I was saying, but what I had observed was when I was doing that, I would go to these panel discussions, and what would happen was is that cats were being big on giving applause lines at these panel discussions. So, the panel discussion would go something like, what's the problems in the Black community? Well, what we need to do, brother, is see what we have to see. We as a people, we as a people, see what we need to do is our unity. We have to unify right now over some certain precepts because, and be like, yeah, all right, fam, all that sound dope. You know what I'm saying? And, white supremacy and this and that. And be like, yo, fam, yeah, all right, my man, all that's dope. But that's not what the problems these people is having in this audience is right now. These cats is having a hard time getting their rent paid. They're having a hard time getting employment. Their credit is beat up. They trying to figure out how to keep their kids out of prison. They don't understand what's going on in the school system, how to educate their children appropriately. There's things that they're having legitimate issues that we need to be able to speak. They're trying to figure out how to fight gentrification in their community. They're trying to figure out how to deal with the political infrastructure, landscape, so that they can get the most out of local politics. They don't understand some of these things, and we need to talk to that. But we don't have no real answers to this because you're just giving people applause lines. And applause lines don't fix no problems. Applause lines just make you feel good. You know what I'm saying? But so what I ended up doing was I moved away from that. I was like, yo, I'm not doing none of that no more. You know what I'm saying? I'm not being a part of it. I'm not associating myself with that no more because it's non-stifle. It's not a complete circle. You know what I mean? So what I did was I went to work to deal with those issues that we were talking about. So, I went and started doing youth mentoring programs like PEMG, which stood for Persistent Engagement Makes Greatness. It was a youth mentoring program for young men and women built around hip-hop to teach them what I was calling a secondary skill set, where I would track them with the music and the dancing and all like that. They wanted to do all of that. But what I was low-key teaching them was how to build their own careers, build their own websites, learn how to write their own bios, how to, interview, work cameras, use how to use the video and all like that and edit their own video and stuff like that. So I had about 10 or 15 kids that I was teaching doing that. And then I was doing stuff like me and my wife had Black Bird Fly, a program for young ladies ages 10 to 21, built around Horizon Expansion that we did for about 5 years in New York. And that was built around just these young ladies, taking them out of the limited scope that they were experiencing in our hometown and showing them something more. And we could have NASA come through and, you know, a civil court judge come through and all the armed forces, police. I mean, everybody was coming through, social workers, you know, the New York Sharks, which was a female football team. A little bit of everybody was coming through. And so we did a workshop on the first day, and then on the second day, we had a gala ball, and people were donating dresses from all over the country to be a part of it. But I was learning while this was going on. I was teaching, and I was mentoring, and I was advocating for young people. I was learning about the pitfalls in our community. I had Team Tsunami Track Club, and we were learning about the pitfalls in the community while we were educating young people on sports and fitness. My wife was a track star when she was younger, so it was like, yo, how are we going to build this? Have 40 young people on Team Tsunami. Had 250 in Black Bird Fly, you understand? So we were doing these things, but what we were learning was that, and this is where this goes back to what you were saying earlier, that the part that what we don't accept in our community is that once somebody does this work, we talk about gentrification, like you was joking about a minute ago. Come down to Augusta, Georgia, bought my own house, $8,000 house in a community where people was leaving it. You know what I'm saying? Renovated. My joint is fly right now, son. And I mean, and I taught myself every trade. Like, I just go on YouTube, taught myself how to do this stuff so I could come and do this and build my house in my own image. You know what I'm saying? And have my own business. My wife and I had, husband-wife businesses next door to each other. I owned a bar named Flo, and my wife owned a boutique called QP's Dollhouse. And so we were black business. We was there. I'm currently involved in the city council, not the city council, but this thing where, like, basically it's like a committee. So before anybody can build anything, it got to route through this particular committee. I'm on that committee. So I approve what happens in my community. I'm a part of that approval thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And further, and the last one I'm going to throw out there, because this all is a point to this. I end up working in the school system right before I moved down to Augusta. I worked as a para for about a year and a half in New York City Board of Education. And para is basically a teacher's aide. And I worked in what's called District 75, which is what is popularly known as special ed. You know, when you got the real, real problem kids, the kids that's on lithium, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know what I'm saying, that the medicine wear off, and now Shorty's kicking his shoes off and spinning around in a circle at top speed because he's about to turn into the Hulk. And you sitting there like, damn, you know what I mean? Like, yo, you gotta have to figure out how to manipulate this kid from tearing things down. Or you got a kid that this kid is, he's 12 years old and he's taller than you and he outweigh you by 50 pounds easy. You understand? You're going to have to try to somehow never manage this kid in the midst of what's going on. And nobody wanted to hear. Everybody wanted to hear, oh, it's the white man. Oh, it's the this. So, you know what I'm saying? The education system's holding us back. Oh, it's the white man. You know what it is? It's not. It's not. It's us. We're not doing our work. We're not about this business for real. We playing. And I'm not saying, like, don't get it twisted. If you or anybody is about some real black liberation, you can't not know that the roots and cause of what all our issues are in this country. You understand? Like, there's no question that, you know, the ideology of white supremacy and the ideology of chattel slavery and all of what they created to hold us down is the cause of our issues. But the fact of the matter is, yo, we are architects of much of our current demise, and Cass is not willing to own that. Cass is not willing to own it so much that when you stop the conversation, like, yo, son, fam, not for nothing, man. Did you marry that baby? Marry that woman and raise them babies. Why don't you start there before we start talking about white men? Let's talk about your family, man. Take care of your family, son. Raise them. Stop having these bastard children running around. Raise your, marry these women that you're trying to sleep with all the time. You're just looking at their tits and ass, to put it bluntly. That's all you think of them for. And now you don't have to see where somebody ain't worth nothing, or on the converse side, you done got with this dude because whatever, he thought he was fly, whatever, and then you ain't qualifying him on no level, and now you stuck with these children. Now, my child, just make personal assessments about yourself that need to be adjusted. Keep it real within yourself and do the right things for yourself. Fix your credit, son. Go get your credit right so that you ain't passing down generational poverty. So when you die, they got to have a GoFundMe to get you buried because you ain't had nothing. You ain't have even life insurance to get you buried, son. Or yo, son, why you can't yo catch us online for a chicken sandwich, but ain't nobody to be found for Parent Teacher Day at the school. Ain't nobody coming up to Parent Teacher Day. You know, don't nobody want to catch a bill on that. You know what I mean? Hey. That's the part. And then when you say that, then you beating us up. Like, oh, no, you beat up black people. You don't say that. Nah, fam. That's not – I'm trying to tell you what it is because this is what it really is. Like, this is – if we – like, there's an African saying that I've put on Twitter. I don't know from whence it comes, but I'm told that it's an African saying. It's something that it goes – I'm paraphrasing, but it goes along the lines of, if there's no enemy within, then no enemy without can hurt you. You know what I'm saying? So if you game tight within, if you got your family, you know, you got your cousins or whatever, and y'all tight, and you know, and cats know, yo, son, the Barksdale, they come out there, they ain't playing, son. Like, they know don't mess with that family because it's going to be a problem. There's no disunity amongst that family. There's no, they're not having it. No one messing with that family. But the ones where they know that they could talk to your cousin and your cousin going to let them talk behind your back and be like, yeah, well, you know how he be, they're going to play with you because they know that you weak. They know you weak. You understand? And that's what our real problem is. Cats know we weak because in essence, our internal problems are so real that, and we so unwilling to deal with them. You understand? That all this other stuff like dealing with the police and the whites, now that's boogeyman business. That's supervillain stuff. It's like, yeah, all right, cool, that's the supervillain. But yo, fam, that's not really your problem, yo. You're trying to talk about Lex Luthor and freaking, you know, and Magneto and, you know, like, you catch me out there with it. And it's like, yo, fam, you can't even do nothing with that, son. But what you can do is you can, you know what I'm saying, pool your resources and do like my family did and put our little ones. Yo, I worked a year straight as a para, so I could help add on, you know what I'm saying, to what my wife, my daughter, and my youngest son was able to contribute to get this little $8,000 joint. And now we have a property that's paid for and owned by my family. It's got, you know what I'm saying, now we have two properties like that.
Right.
You understand? And so, you know, generational wealth begins. And, yo, I'm not singing it like, I don't want to give off the impression of cats like I'm like you know how you see some of these rappers and it's like
boasting.
That's say again.
Bro, you're not boasting. You're not boasting. What you're doing is you're giving black men, black young men, a reason to stop making a fucking excuse and excuse my
right
friends.
On.
Like, you're giving them a reason not to make a fucking excuse. Everything is not the white man. Some things is just you. Change what you doing, and you will find out that when you carry yourself accordingly, it may be a white man to come put some money in your pocket and say, I like
what you're doing.
You know what I'm saying?
Word up.
So it ain't all because
you will
white.
Find
not,
there's a lot of cash that be with you. Because you know what? Cash, listen, man, this is the thing. Like, again, people don't be wanting to do the knowledge to. You know how they say nothing succeeds like success. You know,
right.
people vibe on somebody that's about they hustle. No one's going like, yo, it's a rare thing. You're going to have less, you got more chance of running into somebody that's going to cheer on your hustle. If your hustle is real and by hustle, I ain't talking about hustling. I'm talking about a hustle, like a hustle and bustle. Like you out there hitting the pavement every day, grinding and working hard at your thing, whatever your thing is. People are going to cheer that on a lot more than you're going to run into the white supremacists or some racist guy. It's not the same. You know, I play this game called pickleball. I play with number white people, old white people, same old white people that was probably against us being in a school system, like that word. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But these people, if you play the game good, they love you. If you good, you know, right. I come through with my family. They got mad respect for us because we break stereotypes in front of them. They say, "Oh wow, man, he's just a good family chilling. He's a solid man. He a man," and that trumps a lot of stuff. Being a man, being a solid woman, trumps a lot of a lot of people, man. Yeah, we know we put the cart in front of the horse, and we be thinking like, you know, cats are supposed to respect us just on the strength. It's like ain't nobody gonna respect nobody's nothing on the strength. People respect power because power. Like you gotta come through. A power only concedes the power. You gotta come through right and exact for people to respect your hustle and respect what you're about and what you're doing. And that includes making sure that you're starting first, taking care of your family, making sure that those things are correct, being good to your spouse. You understand? You know, it says zakat in Islam. You say zakat begins at home. You're supposed to charity begins at home. You're supposed to take care of your family first and make sure that they're good. Make sure your kids look good when they go to school and they're well educated, and make time for them and vibe for them and all of that kind of stuff. From that right there, that's the essence. And you think about it like all this right. too. Let me throw this one at you. You know, like all right. So we talking about we talk about. You know, like the most recent Sandra Bland's and stuff like that, of people that got murdered by these police, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, but if we go back to Amadou Diallo, Eleanor Bumpus, you know what I'm saying? You know, Yusef Hawkins, you know, we go way back there. I mean, and to me, that's even going further back than necessary. But if you go all the way back then, and cash was marching just like they marched today for an Oscar Grant or, you know what I'm saying, you know, but you think about it, if cash didn't waste their time marching, right, and was like, yo, I'm really truly upset about what's going on. I've really had enough. I really want these things to change. So I'm not going to go out and march nothing. You know what I'm going to go out and do? I'm going to go out and go to the school system, and I'm going to go mentor some of these babies, because I'm going to make sure that they learn everything that they can learn. I'm going to help and reinforce what they learn. And I'm going to encourage these next generation of kids to be able to go to college, to be able to whatever, because we're going to raise a whole generation of spooks who sat by the door. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. You familiar with that novel or the movie.
Indeed.
But it's a movie called Spook Who Sat by the Door.
Spook Who Sat by the Door, yeah.
Yeah, and it's about basically, without giving too much away, I would really like you to see the movie or read the book, man. It's powerful. It's dope, too. It's basically about this brother that joins the FBI. He's one of the first FBI agents, you know what I'm saying? Black FBI agents or whatever. And he uses
that. Is that the guy in California that was in college, got expelled, and he was approached by the FBI, and he was one of the first black FBI agents?
I don't think we're talking about the same thing, but you may recognize it. I'll explain it further. Maybe it might be, because I'm not sure. But the long and the short of it is, son was nah, because they were all college educated and all of that. And what happened was, he went there to learn everything from them. So he learned all their tactics, but he kept a cool head. So they was thinking that he was just a model. You know, basically, like, you know how whenever we look at a Sammy Davis Jr. or this one and that one, he'd be like, oh, he was a coon. Oh, he was with that white man. But you don't really know how many things some was on the low funding, like how he was taking his money and he was funding stuff that you didn't even know he was doing that. But because, you know, you just saw the outward appearance, you thought that that's all he was doing, but really he was actually a spook who sat by the door. I mean, he was somebody that was there. He was amongst them. He integrated and infiltrated as an agent, learned everything they did, and then he started the revolution. So that's what we should be doing with our kids, instead of running out there marching and hooting and hollering and running around, you know, Lord, hands up, don't shoot. You ain't got to say nothing to nobody. We should just be doing. Word. That's how it is. No problem. I got you. That's how y'all feel about it. That's what you're gonna do to our kids. I got you. No problem. We're gonna raise a generation of kids that's gonna infiltrate this police station. They're gonna infiltrate politics. We're gonna put judges in on the stands. We're gonna put people in. We're gonna focus our effort, and we're gonna put our peoples in position. And then we're gonna play the game with you. Then we're gonna march, because we're gonna have meaning behind this march. Then we're gonna say something. because we're going to be in position. We're going to stop talking to y'all about this, though. We're going to stop talking publicly about this because there's nothing else to say anymore. It's we either going to do something or we not. What we're not going to do is going to keep talking. You understand? Like, we're not going to keep, you know, give it, like, you know, I'll give you one more. Right now, I'm at odds with somebody. I ain't going to get into the specifics of it, but I'm at odds with a friend of mine or a former friend of mine. And, you know, people's like, yo, Sam, why you don't just talk to them? I'm like, nah, son, I'm not talking to them about this. Why? Because I'm not giving son the opportunity to try to have a conversation with me so I could vent my frustrations about it, boobity bit bop bang, and he could try to bounce and flip the excuses to why he did what he know what he's doing. You understand? I'm not doing none of that. There's nothing. I'm not saying nothing. I have nothing to say on it. It's done. You've done what you've done. You're a grown man. You know what you did. I'm not speaking to that no more. It is what it is. Now you got to suffer the consequence of that. And that's where we need to be as the people. It ain't no more talking. It ain't no more conversation on these issues. We already know what it is. What you going to do? What are you willing to do? Are you going to do, or do you need to do a, but the problem is everything that we're talking about doing, we want it to happen between now and tomorrow. You understand? So we go to a march because you feel good after you did a march. You done expended physical energy. You done seen you vented your frustration. You hooted it, hollering. You done had people say some inspiring speeches. So you feel like you did something when you go home because you're tired and you go to sleep. And the next morning, ain't nothing changed.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing changed.
But the things we got to do now, they things that we got to have the fortitude to say, yo, son, this is going to take 20 years. You know what I mean? But, yo, people was dying when my son was born. When my son was born, people was getting killed by the police. You understand? My son is
an
adult now.
And that's
you understand?
Real
so
and
now,
we still, and we still getting killed by the police as we speak. Cool, Kim, this is what I want to do right now. And not to interrupt because, man, we having a great conversation, great banter. So much good banter that we almost at the end of our interview, bro. And it feels
right?
Me and you've been talking. It feels like me and you just been talking on the phone. I bet the listening audience like, man, I know they got a lot of good game. But before you get up out of here, man, I got to play this new jam. Go ahead and introduce this jam, the Get Down. As we play this jam, we're going to come back, man, let you make final words and give your social media and all your contact info, all
right? Right on. So coming up now, fam, you know what I'm saying, is the new single from my new album called Demo Music, which is available on all formats. Everywhere that you listen to your music, you can find Demo Music. The song that's about to play right now is called The Get Down, produced by my good brother Bukowski. It's going down. Let's do it.
Kim amazed, now place the truth, yeah, huh, look here, I'm Borg in the roar, I'm 4+4, laid on his side for sure, that's infinite, I'm different, I captured your interest, you're after the rapture, just trapped in these synthesis, low-key, I'm greatly feared by my peers, they avoid me like the plague, I've been too sick for years, you're in mortal danger, beware the dark stranger, the mass assassin, the true and living lone ranger, do or die, I too fly, I write my name in graffiti on the clouds of the sky, top five, stay alive, they won't survive. On track, raw facts, death survived. Pride is kept, cars kept close to the vest. Gun strap, crossing the chest, it's no jest. Extended clip in case I get pressed, snow did out. Burn your whole town to the ground before I get out. I burn your hopes down, bust it down when I spit out. And tip out, a luck, why? You're basically stuck, the pressure's crushed. Y'all ain't diamonds, y'all get thrown in dust. I'm tougher than leather, I never run, I'm with whatever. Grim Reaper, swing a mic, watch your head sever. Chill, I'm a chill pill, no Oxycontin. Kill, hide your body till your corpse is rotting. In other words, you got a bipolar mic holder. Straight stunner, yeah, but I'm a stone cola. A weed head, throws a lawnmower. The seed sower and the one that grower. The constricted boa, the gifted, the all knower. The difference, the flow of the inference, it's all over. Black clover, my grimoire's a mind blower. Hold up, yeah. Death on the rival there'll be no revival. Yeah. Calling me rival, son, is suicidal. I ain't liable, son, your chances slim. It's cool, Kim, no survival if you're up against him. I'm black on black, I'm prime stats, I'm actual facts. I'm a bomb strapped to the back, well timed attack. Look, I'm well orchestrated and I'm well coordinated. And plus, my circumstances seemingly situated. Yeah, they are. Word up. In too deep, stay woke, can't see. Shimmer your sheep, little bo peep. Yeah. So I creep, freak of the week. I don't come cheap. I reach the mountaintop and I leave. I'm Sean Price, nice. I'm De Niro in heist. I'm a hero with the device, plus my aim is precise. You're getting me pissed, son. I'm getting sick with your lice. Won the rumble, we can tumble. I flip the night. I'm telling you this. Clench fist and risk your life. I want some fist, little daredevil. It's on sight. Get your chest. It's blind man's bluff. It's not tough. Cause talking big was never enough. Cause just to get down. Yeah.
Welcome back, welcome back to Big Exclusive. That was the Get Down with my guest Kool Kim. You know what I'm talking about? So, Kool Kim,
yeah.
Man. Bars. And that's what we was talking about, man. And again, no disrespect on today's music, because every era has its sound, has its time. And the millennials, so to say, that's what they call them, the millennials. Y'all got y'all time to shine, and just so happened that y'all choice of style cadence is delivered the way y'all choose to deliver it. We not knocking that. All we saying is that nowadays it's hard to decipher a lot of different artists because things sound the same opposed to the era we was listening to music in where things was different. And this song right here is a real definition of bars, originality, identity. Kool Kim. It's just Kool Kim. You've been giving us bars. You've been giving us intellectual rap since you was a teenager, my brother. So nothing changed. Nothing has changed. You still that dope dude, except that you're giving it, like you say, to the other kids behind you, to mentor. So kids can really have a lane of identity, because a lot of us don't have mothers, fathers, growing up in our community yet. And to those who do, I commend the parents who are being parents. But some of us don't grow up with both of our parents. So we either have one, the other, or we don't have neither. And so when you can have someone like a Kool Kim, his wife, who's mentoring, and anybody else you know that is a resemblance of a Kool Kim, or his wife, or even this platform right here that you're listening to, then those people are to be commended, because those people are actually working. Those people are not just
right.
What Kool Kim spoke up on the show earlier. They not doing applause talk. My brother, the other man, you got to beat the other man, leading the other man, teaching the other man, and holding it down. All that's facade, bro. All that's facade. You got to let that go. A person who's really doing it is going to be really doing it. You're going to hear that person. You're going to see the kids run up to that person. Why?
Word.
Because in order to reach a child, you must first touch their need. Damn being a friend. Feed them if they hungry. Clothe them if they ain't got no clothes on their back. Give them shelter if they don't have it. And then you teach them and watch what type of loyalty they'll show you for the rest of your life. Because you address the need that child needed that they couldn't get from nobody else. And it's your duty as a grown person, as an adult, as a godly person, to do so. If you are, and you know when you're called to do it, because God will get to talk to you and get convicted as you're trying to walk away. And you'll turn around and say, here you go. Come on, let me feed you. Because when it's too strong, you can't walk away from it if you're truly a godly person and in tune to the God that's in you, that God has put in each and everybody that's walking, living, existing on the face of this earth. So, with that being said, my brother, I appreciate you. I'm going to give you your final words and go ahead and give your contact information. You got it. Let's get
right
it.
Right on, Matt. First off, you know, let me say thank you again to yourself and Sister Valerie for having me on the show. And, you know, I truly appreciate the opportunity to catch a bill, fam, you know what I mean? And so thank you for that, you know what I mean? I had a great time chopping it with you, you heard? And I want to thank all your listeners as well for helping to not only, you know, for not only for listening in and kicking it, but for helping you to build a platform, because that's what we need right now is platforms and infrastructure so that we can build the institutions years from now. You know, today we on Blog Talk Radio. Soon enough, we're going to be on big exclusive radio straight up and down. You know what I mean? Because you're already building the infrastructure that's going to build the institution in due time. So I want to thank the listeners that are listening now, because y'all are the people that are going to make that possible over time. So definitely big ups to that. You know, the album out now is called Demo Music. It's about the hip-hop at its art form level at its inception. Demos are dope, kid. Like, that's when the bass is heavy and it's the idea is raw. That's what you're listening to in demo music, man. It's nothing but good tunes, good vibes. Vibes is right, and you're going to enjoy it. You can download it in all the places and spaces that you would normally download music, like Tinder or Apple Music or iTunes or Spotify, Amazon, all of them joints. It's all of us, you know, it's available in all of those formats. So if it's within your means, definitely please go out and support that real hip hop. Well, listen to it first. Decide that that's something that you enjoy. And if you enjoy it, if I've earned your support, then by all means, please do. And if your support has to come in just the form of a repost, a shout out, a big up, that goes a long way, fam, because I can't tell your friends I'm dope, but you can. And if you do, they'll take your word, because your friend list is full of people that are just like you. And if you like something, I'm sure that a lot of your friends are going to like it too. And so I could really use your support that way. And I don't want the people out there listening to discount the value of your individuality and what that means to another individual. So don't, you know, don't shirk the responsibility of being a great, wise, and wonderful individual that has people that admire and respect them at the level and at the stature that you're at. It's important. You're important to me and many other artists like me that need your voice to co-sign the things that we're doing. So by all means, please come check out Demo Music. I hope you all enjoyed the Get Down. I thought it was, I love that song. That really kind of inspired the project. You know, it really made me go where I'm going. And if you want to contact me or you want to just vibes, because this is a communal effort. This is the new version of hip hop where artists and the supporters of the artists are engaged together. Like, everything that I'm doing has been powered by my fam. I don't call them fans. I call them fam because they've been with me. They know how I am. And so this has been done with the help of my fam. And, you know, if you want to be a part of that, catch up to me on Instagram, CoolKim_NYOil. And, of course, I'm on Facebook, CoolKim, a.k.a. NYOil. And, of course, on Twitter, you can find me as at NYOil. But definitely hit me on Instagram and you can find me everywhere else. And if nothing else, come to my webpage, coolkimumc.com, coolkimumc.com. And you can pretty much find all my social links right at the top right corner. And come vibe, man. You know what I'm saying? Let's do this hip hop the way we do it now that we're a little older and a little wiser and a little smarter. You heard? And on that note, I want to say thanks again for having me. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Cool Kim, though some of you know me as NYOil, and I approve this message.
Man. And there you have it, baby. Cool Kim, right here on Big Exclusives. Hey, man, again, don't be a stranger, my brother. I will be getting at you here in the future. We got another guest coming up, man, so we're going to go to commercial break. After we come back from commercial break, we will be joined by Danger Man, Urban Superhero, and Solomon Childs of Wu-Tang Clan. So,
yo, hey. Yo, you can hear me?
Yes, yes. Who am I
yo,
talking to?
Yo, hold up, listen. Yeah, yeah, yo, real fast, son. Tell Solomon Cool Kim said what up. I spoke to my son in years. That's my man right there.
I tell you what. You tell him yourself. Stick around if you can.
That's my man right there. Y'all gonna have to hold on for a second. I'm about to watch cartoons. I gotta wait now.
Right. Hold on. Because
Because we got Danger Man. We got Danger Man, Urban Superhero. And we got Solomon Charles coming up. So, hey, all my listeners
I'm hold tight.
Look, y'all hang tight. Y'all see how we do it. We make real connections right here. You see the reaction? I can't fake that. That's not scripted. That's Cool Kim. Hey, that's my dude. I'm not going nowhere. He's going to stick around. So, hey, we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back from commercial break, we will be joined by Danger Man, Urban Superhero, and Solomon Childs of Wu-Tang Clan. So, see y'all back after these messages.
Big Exclusives, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern. Celebrities, music, motivation, gossip, and good stuff. All up in your ear. Call 929-477-1167 or visit ValerieDeniseJones.com.
Want to know more about big media? Tune in every Tuesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to subscribe to our channels.